This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
I'd like you to turn to the book of Nehemiah, chapter 4. I appreciate these songs that we sung and the encouragement. And I appreciate the Lord God in heaven and the opportunity to be saved, be a child of God, and live this life. I appreciate that. Somebody said, want to be thankful. Amen. Thankfulness covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. We'll read many of these verses, but we'll start with the first one. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Nehemiah. But it came to pass, when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, and took great indignation, and mocked the Jews, and spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Nehemiah was a chamberlain or a court official in the palace where the Israelites had been exiled held in captivity. And he had gone to the king and requested that the king allow the return of a certain number of people to rebuild Jerusalem, which had been destroyed when Nebuchadnezzar had sacked the city in the 6th century before Christ. And we know the Israelites had been exiled to Babylon, and now they were starting to return. And they came to the city of Jerusalem and found its walls had been torn down after the fight many years earlier, and most of them were in rubble. The city of Jerusalem at that time was what we call now the city of David, which was up on a hill, the mount where the ark and the temple would be placed, was high up. And so these walls were necessary for fortification of the city. It would be difficult to take the city if the walls were there, and you would have to come up from the valley below. And so the walls were necessary, but they were broken down. They were made out of stone. And conquering armies knew at those particular times that if you can sack a city, if you can destroy a city, well, on your way out, you want to break down the walls so that the people that remain cannot use that in defense or by way of attack against you again. So it would be necessary for a conquering army to break down the walls. This book, Nehemiah, is about a restoration of those walls and the restoration of worship that came after the restoring of the walls. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God, unto our God, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. In other words, the enemies of Israel were still round about, and because there were no walls, they had to set a watch while they began to rebuild the walls, lest their enemies would come again and conquer them while they were defenseless. So they set a watch. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. And so the tribe of Judah brought it to Nehemiah's attention that they were defenseless, and their strength was being decayed, or it was being hindered by the fact that they were having to work around all this rubble that had fallen down at the base of the wall, and that their adversaries were aware that they were being hindered, their progress was slow, that they were defenseless, and that because they were defenseless, they were worried that their enemy was going to come in amongst them and slay them. Father, we thank you for your blessings this morning. We appreciate a good life. Thank you for the measure of health that you've given to each one. Lord, we pray for those that are not well. We think especially of Sister Leslie's family and her brother there. Lord, that you would come to him in his greatest hour of need and help him know, Father, what you desire that he should know and what he should be. Lord, that you would comfort and provide the strength that's necessary. Father, we pray that you'll help us here in our service this morning, our worship. We stand in need, dear God, of getting something that we can use that will help us this week. God, each week that we come together, this is what we require. Some of us, Father, this morning are going to need salvation. Others, Father, are going to need their own wall rebuilt. Others of us, Father, are going to need some rubble removed from our souls. So, God, we pray that whatever we stand in need of, that you would help us this morning. You see where we are. You know the weak vessel. We ask that the word of God would be our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Amen. Rubble. Thought we have this morning is remove the rubble. Word of God here uses the word rubbish. We can call it rubble. I can recall a time in my life when my own life, the walls of my salvation were broken down. And I'm speaking about that life that I had constructed for myself after I became accountable and sin took its toll. And the old my own walls, my own, in a way, being had begun to crumble. And defenses that had been constructed in my youth by my parents, by whatever God had given to me, whatever. Defenses that had been constructed in my youth were now being torn down by sin. And that rubble, which remained at the base of my own walls, left me defenseless. We say that sin takes a heavy toll, and sin will cause you to do things that you said you would never do. And what it is sin is tearing down the walls of your own defenses. Whatever defenses that you had at any given time against sin, sin has a way of just wearing away. And then sometimes big cannonballs of sin, they blow through those walls. Other times, the weathering of time and memory and heartache and all, that weathers and breaks down these walls of our defenses. Well, that happened to me. And by the time that I came to salvation, I had found myself with great breaches in my defenses. The enemy was having a field day, coming into my life and working his way through there because of the lack of defenses that surrounded me. And the breaches were getting larger and larger. And therefore, the damage to the city was greater and greater. That's how I found myself when God saved me. And at the time, there were certain things that had to happen in order for God to rebuild a life. Amen. When you get saved, one of the things that God does is he helps you rebuild your life. You can call them walls, but it's a type in this way of a life which is getting rebuilt by Christ. Now, there's lots in this chapter that'll help any of us. Can you see that the burden bearers, the workers that were rebuilding the walls, were afraid? Can you see that? Can you see that the enemies that were round about knew that their walls had breaches in them, and therefore that they felt bold to attack them? Can you see that? And as a result, the workers were afraid. Where there's fear, sometimes there is lack of trust. And fear and lack of trust, they work together, and over time, amen, they can create breaches in walls of defenses of a life. And when God saves us, those breaches, some of them might still be there. I'm not suggesting that God doesn't do a perfect work. But you can't live 20, 30, 40, 50 years with whatever life brings to you and the damage that causes a person's spirit. You can't live that long and not have some serious damage to your life. Sin does serious damage to people's lives. And what God does at a moment of salvation is He forgives us of all the stupid things that we've done and the offenses that we have caused to God. God forgives us of that. But it takes time sometimes to start to rebuild lives that have been so damaged by decades of abuse. And part of that involves lack of trust. Part of it involves fear. Amen. And that's natural. It takes a long time. You know, when your walls begin to be broken down, you are so exposed to the world. The enemy, Satan, and people through whom he works have such a great advantage when you allow sin to do such damage to your life. And the spiritual enemies that would then have access to your life, your village, because your walls have been broken down. You feel defenseless against this. And so you begin to construct defenses of your own making, which are not of God, but you have to do something, because these spirits and the people who are used by them, they're, you know, the enemy that would attack the city, and you feel defenseless. So what some people do, because fear is there, they construct their own walls of doubt, unbelief, lack of trust, mistrust. Those become defenses that people erect to try and keep out the onslaught of what the world brings. You see how corrupt a life becomes because of sin? The defenses that we construct to try and keep out the onslaught which is coming against us. And a person realizes at a point in time, this isn't working. I don't want to finish my life the way it has begun. I don't want to end this the way it is now. God has a better way. I see these people and how happy they are, and how, in other words, they may not just be jolly all the time, but their faith is working for them. I want what they got. Okay, but don't be like the man in Acts that said, sell me the gift of the Holy Spirit that I might heal people as well. Don't be like that. You can't come in here and buy with your own resources what God freely gives. You can't come in here and pull one over on the eyes of the saints thinking that I'll get some material benefit by coming here. Because these people are good-hearted and giving, and I'll just get what I can get, and when I'm ready to go, I'll move on. There was a man in Acts that thought that way, and the apostle said, you have no part in this matter. Your heart isn't right. Amen. You can't pull the wool over God's eyes. And if you've come to this place in life with broken down walls, caused by our own willingness to let sin have access. Amen. The only way your walls are going to get rebuilt the right way is to go God's way. But see, in this catastrophe that we have allowed that surrounds our city, we've constructed our own walls at times. I'm talking about people that are left in sin and all the damage that it does. They try and reconstruct their own walls, And again, it's not a healthy construction. It's doubt, it's mistrust, it's fear, it's paranoia, it's anxiety. It's just trying to keep out what's out there. And when you get saved, sometimes it takes time to get that rubble out of there. See? Because this is the whole theme of the message right here. You can't properly build until you get the rubble out. And the rubble is the product of years of our own making. And we have to go to God and pray and say, God, reveal to me the rubble that is still at the base of my walls, or yet in the wall, that must come out so that the Holy Spirit can help to reconstruct a life that I have ruined. Amen. Let God help you. Let God help you. So let's go back to our story. Nehemiah returned to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and there were enemies round about. Just because we get saved and we return to Jerusalem doesn't mean that there's not going to be opposition. Some of the strongest opposition comes to new converts right after they've been saved. Because the enemy realizes that you're on the right path, and now is the time, when you are still a new convert, a babe in Christ, now is the time to get you off of this path and back to where you started, back to the land of sin. And so some of the strongest trials happen to new converts. The people of Israel had just come back to Jerusalem, and right there, the enemy was ready to pounce, amen, and destroy what had just begun to be rebuilt. There is a process called deconstruction in construction. After a fire or an earthquake or some other calamity, if you have a building which is not completely damaged, completely destroyed, there's something left that you can use. Many times what restoration contractors will do, they will take out a permit to restore that building, leaving what they can salvage, and then reconstructing what's been damaged. Well, what they have to do is they have to deconstruct the building. You just don't bring in a wrecking ball and knock the whole thing down and start over. Sometimes it's not wise to do that. But you can't build on faulty material. You can't build on burnt material. Above this ceiling, there's a large space that you can't see, which is full of girders and wires and pipes and so forth and insulation. Many, many feet above the ceiling here until the roof. Well, if there was a fire and the smoke got up in there, all of that insulation would have to be torn out by hand. It might be that this ceiling would have to be removed, but the steel walls could still be salvaged, and perhaps much of other material in the building could be salvaged. You say, brother, don't talk about that. I don't even want to think that way. And so a contractor has to bring in a crew, and they begin to deconstruct carefully and remove the rubble before they can rebuild. And so all this stuff has to be removed. And then up above in the steel, you would have to spray a sealant on that steel to encapsulate the soot that remains so it doesn't stink when the days are hot and so forth. And then you can repaint, and then you can start to put it back the way it's supposed to be. So you have to deconstruct before you can construct. It's not just a process of tearing down completely. When God saves a person, we see the broken walls of our life. We see the rubble of what once perhaps was a healthy childhood, but then became a broken down city because of sin. We see that when we come to God for salvation. Well, there are things that God can use afterward that we don't need to get rid of. Not everything that has been constructed has been evil many times in a person's life. God can use much of your personality. He can use much of your intellect. He can use many things that you have constructed in your life. But God can't use that which has been damaged by sin. I'm speaking of a person's life. Right? We don't somehow go to a room, put on a set of headphones, get hooked somehow, and I'm speaking hypothetically in my own imagination here, get wired and so forth, and then God completely erase your memory, start from a complete blank slate, and then reprogram. That doesn't happen to people. Okay, so there's things that God leaves with us that he can use, and then there's yet other things that have been broken and torn down and of no value. And that's the stuff that needs to get put in the wheelbarrow and carted away before you can begin to rebuild that life. Isaiah 55, you say, brother, what are you talking about? Isaiah, is it 55? Mm-hmm. 55 and 8, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Heaven's higher than the earth. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So those are that's the rubble. That's the rubble. Your thoughts, your ways, that are not his ways and his thoughts. That's the rubble. That's what needs to get carted away. That's what's at the base of your walls. That's what you've built with that isn't working. That's what won't stand the test of time. That was what was built on sand, not on solid ground. That's the rubble. Our thoughts, our ways. And we say, well, I come to God and I know some of that when I get saved. I've been hooked. I've been deceived. I've allowed myself to follow down paths that have been destructive. I've disobeyed. I've gone against the word of God. That we know. That we know. God can forgive us of that. But later on, sometimes decades later on, we will find yet even some more rubble. You say, not me, brother. My rubble's all been cleared out. Well, thank God forevermore for that. But some of us will find some stones that have crumbled or are lower down in the wall, and that we've built up a life after that, and yet there are still some things lower down that are now crumbling. That is rubble. That needs to be removed so that we can begin to build again on a life which is healthy and secure. You say, brother, that's never happened to me. I say, thank God for that. But for many, it has. Many of these are things that perhaps happened years and years and years ago. All right? And perhaps you didn't even see it at the time. But as your life goes on and things change and your needs change and your life situation changes, you now begin to depend on that part of the wall and you realize there's some weakness here. And the weakness is being caused by rubble down at the bottom that never got out. I have seen situations where an earthquake has moved an entire house off of the footing of its foundation. The whole house just shifted an inch. Most of the time, it's because there were no foundation bolts that attached to the sill plate of the house. The sill plate is the bottom of a wall. And in our construction today, you have to put, if it's on grade, if it's on, this is grade. It's on the ground, okay? And you have a footing of concrete, and you have to have a foundation bolt that comes up every 4 feet in a house like this. And then you take your 2x6, your 2x4, and you put it on top of there. You drill a hole in it. And that keeps everything connected. That keeps the superstructure of the house connected to the substructure. Everything's connected. So if the earth starts to shake, The foundation doesn't go one way and the earth goes the other way. The house goes another way. But I've seen this happen. Older homes where they didn't have it properly constructed, the house went one way, the foundation went another way, and now that house is in big trouble because it's ready to collapse. You wouldn't want to live in it. That house gets red tagged. That means that the building department says you cannot go in this house. It is dangerous to occupy. People, after a time, earth doesn't move a whole lot. Not a lot of shaking. Storms, wind, doesn't move the house. But then comes a huge earthquake in life. A huge thing that's starting to shake us, right? That's when we find out where we're properly attached and where we are not properly attached. And where we are not properly attached, I'll call that rubble. I'll call that rubble or rubbish. Where we are not properly attached to Christ. And he'll show us. He'll say, you are not properly attached here. Or you are not attached to me. You thought you were, but you were floating. You were not properly. And so I shook your earth. And I'm going to show you where you are properly attached and where you are not. And so then what needs to happen is the house mover fella comes in with his jacks and literally, depending on the structure, can jack up the entire structure and move it. Oh, this is the mercy of God. Can move it back onto the foundation. We don't have to tear it all down and start over. We got buffeted by a strong earth shaking or something. And God says, you don't have to tear it all down and start over, but let me jack you up. Amen. And I'll put you back on the right foundation. Okay. Now, what we're going to do different this time is we're going to put some foundation bolts in there so you don't move again. See? All of this is the Word of God. All of this is... This is how God works. We get shifted, didn't know that we were exposed. Thank God for his mercy that he didn't collapse us, that we didn't make a huge mess of things. And then he just lifts us up, says, hang on, I'll fix it so this doesn't happen again. But we need to see where the rubble is, the weakness, and remove it. Or he can't place us back on the foundation like he wants to. Why put us back to a dangerous condition that was there before this ever started? Right? That's pointless. Why just keep shifting? Every time there's an earthquake, sooner or later there's going to be a collapse. So why just keep shifting? Why not learn from what just happened? And say, evidently, I need to be connected stronger. I need to be attached better. How can I do this? And in the world we live in, after an earthquake, for example, you go to an expert, a structural engineer, and he says, I'm going to design a fix for you so that this doesn't happen again. I'm going to epoxy those bolts in that concrete footing. And then I'm going to put your sill back on it. And when I'm done, this thing ain't never going to move again. And you go to an expert. The expert designs the fix. Not to replace everything, but just to repair the rubble. The rubble part. The Holy Ghost is the expert. And that's who we go to help us design the fix. But we have to go to him. So that he will give us the fix, the design that must repair that part which is broken, decayed. We didn't even know it until there was a severe shock, perhaps that we've never gone through before. So you see, there's a lot in here that applies to everyday lives, getting the rubble out. You come to God and you come to the church of God and you get saved and you say, oh, thank God, life is good. Do you realize that you still have rubble in your life? Do you realize that? If you have spent years abusing your life, there's going to be rubble in your life. Don't think that everything is taken care of in your life simply because you come to an altar of prayer and ask God to forgive you of your sins. That gets you ready for heaven. But what gets you ready for the rest of your life is addressing the rubble that you created by the decisions that led to sin. Now, I realize somebody might not be comfortable with the way I explained that. I'm going by experience. I'm going by experience of counseling individuals who love God. Okay, so this is not my opinion, but yet struggle with things in their lives because of rubble which is yet there, even after they were saved. So this is not opinion or conjecture. This is what happens to many of us. So there needs to be a process of deconstruction before there can be construction. And God says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Let me deconstruct some things. We learn things that create rubble. We have exposures throughout life. We have ideas that we're taught. We might hear preaching. God can use many things, but so can Satan. And so you say, well, I know the Word of God. I believe God. I understand God. There's things about God that I incorporate and so forth. But yet, you know, Satan also knows the truth, and he can use those very things, amen, especially in a heart that is not willing to put God first, and that can create rubble. We all pick up ideas, we pick up teachings, and that, if it's not founded on thus saith the Lord, that will crumble and create rubble in people's lives. The walls, they were battered by Nebuchadnezzar. The gates were burned with fire. The Assyrians entered through the city. The homes and the temple, they were burned. And when they were all done, it was all left in rubble. And when the people came back, they had to get it out of the way. Rubble has no value. Rubble has no value. It can't be reused. It can't be reused. Broken up, jagged pieces. If you're going to build a strong wall that will stand. And the other thing is, taking those little crumbly, jagged, broken up pieces of a life and then somehow thinking that you're going to use that to reconstruct your wall after God calls you home. See, God wants to start with new material. Everything that I built with before I was saved in the way of strength in my life that ultimately turned to rubble, God couldn't use that. It was my idea, was my way. It turned to rubble. It wasn't good for reconstruction. I needed new material. I needed gospel blocks and stones. I needed gospel mortar. I needed God's ways. I needed God's thoughts. They were higher than my rubble. And so that rubble needed to be carted off and carted out of the way. That's what's happening here, isn't it? Isn't that what's happening here? Jeremiah chapter 4. Remove the rubble. Verse 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me, and if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then thou shalt not remove. Jeremiah 4. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire, burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. In other words, he says, start over. Start rebuilding with what I give you. Don't go back to the way you were. Don't make a mixture. Don't make a mixture of your worldly ways and ideas and my highways and ideas. Let me help you rebuild, amen, with good material. I might leave you with things that I can use, but what I can't use, that rubble, let it go. Let it go. Don't try and rebuild a life with rubble. Jeremiah 39 and 8. Some scriptures on rebuilding right. 8th verse. This is on the fall of Jerusalem. And the Chaldeans, these people we've been reading about, burned the king's house, the houses of the people with fire, and break down the walls of Jerusalem. That's what happened. They broke down the walls. Sin breaks down people's walls. Let's go back to Nehemiah chapter 2. So the Chaldeans came, they broke down the walls. Nehemiah 2 and verse 13. He had to do a survey of the city before he planned the reconstruction, which is a good way to do it. 13th verse, I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, to the dung port, viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. The gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain, to the king's pool, but there was no place for beasts that was under me to pass. He couldn't even get his horse through all the rubble because of the great damage that the enemy had done. He couldn't even rebuild. He was trying to make a survey of the city to decide, you know, where's the effort going to have to happen? Where's the material going to have to go? And he couldn't even get his horse through the rubble because it was so great. So even to make a survey of how to rebuild, rubble had to be removed. And it's the same in a person's life. If you come to God and you say, Lord, forgive me, I want to start over. I want to be a Christian. I've made a mess of my life. Well, you didn't come to that place without rubble. There's rubble in your life. And in order to make a survey of what needs to happen to rebuild your life, you're going to have to get rid of rubble. You say, brother, what does that really mean? That means you're going to have to give up some of your old ways and your old ideas. The rubbly ways and the rubbly ideas. You're going to have to be willing to trust the saints. You're going to have to be willing to trust the pastor. Because you have constructed walls of mistrust and doubt and fear in order to protect yourself from the harm that sin has caused you. Somebody is going to have to help you in this rebuilding process. And if you keep your doubt and mistrust and your fear and your paranoia and your standoff and your deceitful ways that you constructed to deal with the world, then you're not going to get the rubble out of your life. Nehemiah couldn't build the city by himself. He needed help. Even to survey the damage that sin had caused. And sometimes when we get saved, we think that, oh, it's all good, you know, I start from here and I move forward and I start to make good decisions and all the bad decisions, they're in the past. And now everything starts to get better because I profess I love God. Doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. You're going to have to trust somebody that has been here before you, that has stayed true, that has helped other people rebuild their lives. You're going to have to trust somebody. Amen. That means you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable. Amen. And that's not going to feel good to you because that's not how you're used to living. You're used to living defensive, you know, with enemies all around, and you don't trust anybody. But when we get saved, there's a lot of vulnerability that has to happen in order for you to trust people.
Amen.
And for them to help you rebuild. Because there's rubble in your life. And the decisions that we took, they caused it to be there. It's not somebody else's fault. I am responsible for the rubble that I created. But I need help to get it out. Years later, somebody gets saved. Maybe you get married, maybe you have a family. And somebody says, I have constructed a marriage on what I believe to be a sure foundation, Jesus Christ. I've constructed a family on what I believe to be a sure foundation. And then you find a weakness in a marriage or in a family. And there's a rubbly idea down there that perhaps you weren't even aware of, because guess what? In your early 20s or your late teens, you weren't constructing a family. You weren't constructing a marriage. You hadn't built there yet. Or you get to be a certain age in life. You've never been there before. This event in your life has never happened before. And now it happens. And you begin to construct and you find out a weakness there. There's a rubbly thing there that you had built on. God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Therefore, when you find that rubbly idea, let me help you take it out. You don't have to tear the whole wall down. Your heart's desire was to build on a sure foundation, but there's a part in there that is a weakness in that structure, and I can strengthen that. I have an expert who can help you repair that and build that, and so that your wall now is secure and safe. What's wrong with that? Is there anything wrong with that? Somebody says, you know what? I realize all these years I've constructed on some stubbornness, on some anger, on some impatience, on some pride. God calls that rubble. He says, let me help you. We can cut that out. Amen. We can take that out and we can put something back there that will work. Years later, we do that. Amen. Lots of people today have constructed walls and gates with materials that God cannot approve of. And they claim to be surrounded by a holy life. But it's rubble if God can't approve of it. How much rubble remains in a person's life? He said in chapter 4 of Nehemiah, and in verse 10 he said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. They were worn out. Why? Because they were trying to work around all the rubble. The strength of the bearers of burdens is worn out. We've been talking about weariness. One of the ways people get weary is that they're trying to work around rubble. Work around pride. Work around dissatisfaction. Work around discontent. Work around disappointments. Work around fear. Work around torment. These are good people trying to work around rubble. And their strength gets worn out. Working around rubble. Can you imagine? There's a pile of rubble this high. The wall's on the other side. I'm over here. And every time I go to work on the wall, I get it. You know, pass me that block. Wait a minute. Okay, hang on. I mean, that's weary. What's the pile? The pile is whatever gets in the way. The pile is pride. The pile is the scars of sin The pile is memories of torments, of regrets, and terrors. That's the pile. Amen. God wants to shovel all that in a wheelbarrow and remove that first. Now, let me ask you something. Does it take work to remove rubble? So that's not incidental, is it? Oh, just let me get to the wall. Get the rubble out, but let me get to the wall. It takes as much effort to get rid of the rubble as sometimes it does to build right. Or perhaps we should say it this way. The effort is in getting rid of the rubble, but once we get to the wall, well then, amen, now that's much easier. It takes work to get rid of the rubble. This is a memory. This is a memory or a heartache or a scar. This is a disappointment. This is something that sin caught me, that I allowed or that something was allowed. Amen. That's the rubble. That needs to get in the wheelbarrow. And then little by little, we form a pathway to where we need to be building. But we got to get rid of the rubble. I know some of you don't clearly understand what I'm talking about. When you get to a place in life where rubble is in the way, you will understand what it means to get rid of the rubble. See, this doesn't imply that people do not have a mind to work. Not at all. It's no criticism of anybody. It just is. You live any time in sin, there's going to be rubble in your life. Any years in sin, there's going to be some rubble there for everyone. Amen. And I believe God does come with a front loader when we get saved. I believe that. I believe there's a lot that's moved out of the way when we get saved. That's a quarter yard right there every time you pick that up. Okay, and then now there's a clear path. I believe that God does that when we get saved. But yet, there's a little pile here and there. Sometimes a bigger pile that we never saw. And we come to that and it's in our way. And so just like he did in the beginning, we have to go back to the project manager, to the expert, to the consultant, the Holy Spirit, the same one that drew us to Christ in salvation, and go back to that expert and say, I have a new problem. It's in my way. Amen. Now, it's not even something that a front loader can get at. A front loader is a tractor with a big bucket. I'm going to have to figure out a way to get rid of this. It's in my way, and I can't build. And I need a fix that you designed for me. See? God does this. I'm a witness. God designs specialized fixes to deconstruct things of our own construction so that he can rebuild. Before someone can even become a Christian, they need to be willing to have God clear a path to the breach in their life. The Holy Spirit draws us, is what the Bible says. Before you can even be saved, wasn't this your experience? God, see, we had gone so long in sin, there was so much rubble. It was like these pictures you see of war zones where bombs come down and they destroy buildings. And there's rubble in the streets. I see these pictures of the poor people in Syria. And a street where once there was pavement and buildings, and now there's nothing but rubble. And I think, how are these poor people ever going to resume any kind of normal life? First of all that rubble is going to have to get cleared out. It's going to take a long time. Amen. Before they can rebuild properly and put a street in there. And sin is like that. Sin causes such damage to people's lives. But God in his faithfulness Even before we are saved, he starts clearing a path for us through the rubble that we had created. We couldn't even get to God but for the rubble that was in our way. All those bad decisions, all the hate, all the mistrust and the doubt, all the years of frustration or, you know, I just can't trust religion, everybody's fake, it's all a hypocrisy. God cleared that away. There is so much mistrust in rubble. So much rubble in mistrust. Piles of it. You can't be saved until you can learn to trust. Some measure of trust. But for a lot of us, we grew up with these rubbles of mistrust. We couldn't even trust God. But if you'll let him, and this is where you have to make yourself vulnerable, God will move the pile of mistrust to allow you to get to him. If you'll let him and trust God. Before we even become a Christian, we need to be willing to let God clear away some rubble. Mm-hmm. But if we begin to build on rubble, and we assume that God has already taken care of everything, there's a risk of failure in that assembly. There's a risk of failure. Somewhere in this building, there's a lot of steel. And let's say there's a fire. And people get to everything, but the decision is made on that point right there. You know what? I think that point is still good. Let's leave that there. You know? And there's an analysis done and say, no, I think that joint is still good. I think we can still, let's rebuild with that in place. And years go by, and then one day, that fails. And it fails because it was left there. It was failed because of the original incident, and it was left there, and it was a failure. So the decision was wrong to leave it there. It should have been taken out. But when it fails, like I said, God can help us address that problem. We don't have to knock the whole thing down. He can address that problem in our lives, remove it, and then replace it with something strong and healthy, and we can start over. But see, if we make assumptions that we're building, you know, I get saved and God removes everything. Clean slate. I understand he takes all our sins away as far as the east is from the west. I get that part. I understand that he makes us perfect. I get that part. Will you allow me to live a little bit now? Is that all right? Can I be real? Can I just live now? Can I be a human being with all of those scars of sin? Can is that all right? That's what can create weaknesses. That's what is rubble if you begin to build on that. See? Those scars. See, God doesn't take away memories sometimes. Sometimes he leaves memories. And those can be weaknesses. And sometimes he has to go back in and do emotional surgery. Amen. Cut that out. Tack in something new. Take out his grinder. Amen. Amen. Prime it. Paint it so it looks like it's new. Amen. And it's stronger than it used to be. That's what I'm talking about. When the enemy of your soul keeps coming back through the same breach in your wall, examine your life. If he keeps coming back through the same weakness, examine the wall. Is there rubble there? Have you built on a rubbly idea or a rubbly memory or a rubbly way of being? If the enemy keeps coming back through that same breach, amen, ask God to help you repair the breach with what his material is. I mean, come on. How long are we going to survive and live where the enemy keeps attacking us at the same place in our lives? Evidently, he has found a weakness of material there that needs to be removed and replaced. How long are we going to live like that? You don't have to live like that. If you know that he's attacking you in the same place over and over, you go to God and you say, God, help me right here. I don't know what to do about this place, but evidently there's a weakness here, and you got to help me take it out and put something stronger there. This makes a lot of sense to me. It's building a life through strength rather than accepting rubble as the foundation of our frame, of our building. If you say, I am discouraged about X, Y, or Z, I don't have hope in X, Y, or Z, I don't think my future is in X, Y, or Z, that is potentially a weakness based on rubbly ideas. Rubbly ideas are our own thoughts and our own ways. And that you can pray and you can say, and you can seek help and you can seek counsel and you can seek the saints, and you say, address that. Don't go on with that. It's not going to get any better. If I had some habit in my life which was leading to a weakness, spiritual, emotional, physical weakness, if I had some habit that was leading to that weakness, I have a choice. I can either choose to continue to live with that, or I can seek to cut it out and replace it with something better. And you say, brother, I can't do that by myself. God specializes in those kind of repairs. I don't know how to say it any other way. Is there rubble at the base of your wall? Are you worn out trying to repair the breach? Psalms chapter 46, and we'll close. Psalms 46 and verse 4. Are you worn out trying to repair all just the weaknesses and the breaches? There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. The same city that Nehemiah was repairing with new walls. The holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Amen. There is a river, and you say, I get worn out just trying to maintain my life. There is a river. There's a river. Lord, help us to know how to swim in it. Amen. Remove the rubble first. Remove the rubble later. And then build according to thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let's stand.